The Loftus Party Podcast. Do you find yourself overwhelmed with feelings of joy? Do you find yourselves looking at the sky thinking, wow, how did I get here? How's it going, everybody? It's Michael Loftus coming to you across the way via the Internet of Things. We have the Liberty Gimlet. She's feeling happy. She's stoked. She's got football coming up. How you doing, Gypsy?
I'm doing great. I love football season.
You're stoked. It's weird. This is a weird one for me. I'm not into it at all so far. We'll see what happens. So much on the show. I want to tell some New York stories. I want to tell some stories about being on the five, making my big nighttime. I got some bragging rights now.
Cutest picture ever of you and Dana Perino on the Facebook page.
I'm not even kidding you. Is she really as nice as she seems? Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So that's a good story. Like, I want her to be nice in real life.
I'm not even kidding you. And this is what I found, seriously, with everyone over at Fox News, without fail. And this goes to the on-camera people, to the behind-the-scenes people. I almost said crazy, but it's like what you want. It's what you want when you're putting together a team, helpful, hardworking, happy, solid folks. So, yeah. She doesn't take a bad picture, by the way. She doesn't. And I thought this was hilarious. I had known her for maybe 4 hours, and then she was already texting me pictures of her dog.
She loves Jasper.
She does. Nope. That's not like a thing she's doing for clicks and likes. Anyway.
It's one of the things I love about her. I mean, I post pictures of my stupid dogs all the time.
This is funny. So you know how every Saturday I do a Saturday butt picture, right? I'm sure you know. Yeah, and it's like sometimes it's tight pants. Sometimes I did one recently that was like a rock formation, you know, but it's always like a picture of either a cute butt, whatever. That's what it is. So, I sit down at the little table there where on set for the five, and Dana Perino comes in. She's being very nice. And within like a minute, she's like, "So do you have a dog?" And I'm like, "I do." And she's like, "Oh my gosh, what kind of dog is he?" I'm like, "Well, he's a rescue. You know, he's part terrier and he's part Maltese, but he's a great dog. I really love him." "Oh, is he on your Instagram?" I'm like, "Yeah." And she goes, "What's your Instagram name?" I go, "Oh, it's at the Loftus Party. Everything's matchy matchy." So I look over, she's on my Instagram, and I can see her scrolling through, and it's just like, butt. She's like, "He's not on here." Like, yeah,
but
keep
there's
going.
A lot of rear end.
I'm like, keep going. It was like the first time I'd ever been. It was like I was just a little uneasy. I'm like, man, I gotta watch the content better on my Instagram. So like, it's like quiet. It's like quiet for like a good 10 seconds, and then she goes, "Oh, there he is." She found him finally. I can only imagine. I wish
you have rear ends. Yep.
Yeah, but you know, there's also there was funny stuff. But I'm like, as she's scrolling through, I'm like, "Ooh, that kind of is a lot of that is a lot of butts." But she was very, very nice. She was very nice. I was nervous. I was.
She had a diet too.
Here's the funny thing. I was so happy that Jedediah was on the show that week, because I've done a couple of Fox and Friends with her. And she's a very, very nice person as well. But I noticed, like, and I'll even say this for Juan Williams. I'll even say this about Juan Williams. On the first day, on Wednesday, he was, like, reacting to some stuff I was saying. But he directed everything at Jesse and Dana and Jedediah. Like, it was very cool of him. It wasn't like he was pulling punches, but, like, he didn't take any swings at the new guy. And I appreciate it. It was.
I liked Juan before 2016. I thought he was a reasonable liberal. But Trump kind of broke him.
It's just happening all over the place.
I know.
So So it's crazy. I always here's what a rube I am. And I'm from television, but every television show that I've been on, we tape it ahead of time and right. then you broadcast it.
Yeah,
and you have time to go back and fix stuff and yada yada. I honestly thought, and maybe gullibly so, that The Five was taped at 4.
No, and then all of those are live.
Yes.
But you know your yes, Fox and are. Friends segments are live.
I know, but it's like a different thing when you're just responsible for one little segment. And I'm not the guy responsible. It's usually someone else going, hey, we've got Michael Loftus here from the Loftus mm-hmm. Party. So what do you think about Bing, Bing, Bing? I had teleprompter stuff I needed to do. I needed to throw it to commercial. I needed to introduce the segments. I'm like, whatever. I think it went okay. Wednesday, I was okay with Wednesday. Thursday was a lot more fun because I knew what was up. And however, oh my gosh. So I don't know if you watched
Poopy Town on Thursday.
Poopy Town. Poopy Town was Wednesday.
No, I thought that was Thursday.
No, that was Wednesday. Wednesday, because San Francisco declared the NRA a terrorist organization.
Yes,
I'm like, I think the NRA needs to come up with a nickname for them, Poopy Town. I thought that was hilarious. I think you and I were the two people in America who thought that was really funny.
Well, I mean, so, you just have to understand, like, I loved San Francisco in the 90s. I used to go hang out there with my friends. You know, the whole nine yards. You couldn't pay me to visit San Francisco now.
I tell you, it would be tough. I'm sure there's places that you can go, but it would be. It's definitely not on my top 10 list. Definitely not on my top 10 list of places to go. And fun to know facts. We've been finding like syringes and human feces in my neighborhood now.
Ew!
In LA.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, it ain't good, and which was another I think. Anyway, I didn't do badly on The Five, and I brought up some good points. I thought, you know, it's like, hey, California, you keep claiming that you have this budget surplus. You have a budget surplus. Well, start spending the money, start fixing stuff, start helping people. That's like the Democrats always do that. We're gonna help people. We're raising your taxes to help people. Then they've raised the taxes. We're being taxed, you know, out our eyeballs, and they're just not doing anything with the money. So, to my bragging rights, and it's not my bragging rights, but it was very cool to see on Thursday, which I thought was like the better show. I was a bit more relaxed, and Dana and Jesse and Juan and Jedediah, they couldn't have been more welcoming. They're like, don't worry, we're not going to let you, you know, mess up. If anything bad happens, we got you. So I had a little safety net. But we finished in the ratings for Thursday. We were third. We were
nice.
Third. Yeah. Of all the shows on cable. Of
I
all
know.
The shows. Yeah. And third in the demo of the 18 to 49. Skadoosh. Yeah. Skadoosh. Which is big stuff. Which
well,
is big stuff.
Because I have a box and I have 12 TVs and I made sure it was on all of them.
That's hilarious. That's hilarious. That's a million viewers right there.
Yeah,
that's a million viewers statistically right
Turned
there.
Turned on everybody's thing in the house, and yeah.
So New York was fun, and I'm glad you did that. Do that every time I'm on television, please. If you could just have all, I need to buy you 7 more TVs.
At least.
To get those hooked up. So New York was great. I put if you do go to the Loftus Party Instagram, there was one of the most... it was one of the best sunsets I've ever seen in my life. Mm-hmm. I was staying at this hotel on 44th, pretty close to Times Square, and it was a long day over at Fox. I did Fox and Friends in the morning, then Brian Kilmeade had me on his radio show, then I did a Fox Nation show with Tom Shalhoub.
Oh,
went
nice.
Back. Yeah, Shalhoub's such a good dude.
Got along good with Tom, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we've run into each other a couple times over there. I think he's very funny. I'd love to see his stand-up. And I love his barbershop quartet stuff.
You should get him to come out with you and the boys.
I know. I've extended the invitation. We got Cat Timpf coming. We're jumping ahead, but we're going to do a stand-up special for Fox Nation. It films. This is the Eagles of Liberty Freedom to Laugh tour, you guys, which I wanted to talk about anyway. But we're doing a special for Fox Nation that's going to film in Waco, Texas, at a theater called the Hippodrome. It's got one of those old-timey theater names. And so Kat's going to come out, a big crew from Fox Nation. We're going to film stand-up, behind-the-scenes stuff. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm going to take Kat Timpf out for barbecue. I want her to eat some spicy ribs and big slabs of brisket. It's going to be outrageous.
So that content will go behind the paywall, right?
Yeah. Here's what you guys will do. Here's for the listeners of the Loftus Party here, which they're, oh my gosh, that's epic. That's epic. The numbers are fantastic. I'm all over the board. I apologize. But holy smokes, to the people who've been here since day one, word one, you guys were ahead of the curve. But our numbers are growing, and I couldn't be happier about it. So yeah, here's what you do. You sign up for the free 30-day trial in November. Because that's when the special will be on. You watch the special during your free 30-day trial, and then you decide whether or not you want to keep it.
Listen to you.
Listen to me.
This is as bad as our advice on the streaming services.
Oh my gosh, it's gonna be. Here's another one.
For Netflix this month, and then I'm gonna shut that off. Prime I always have. Then I'm gonna go to Disney and watch this. And then I'm gonna cancel that. Go back over here. Yeah.
It's exactly what people are going to do. You're just going to surf the free trial. Like, you wait till The Mandalorian comes on Disney Plus. Mm-hmm. That's when you do your free 30-day trial of that. You binge watch that and you're done.
You just get a new email address and you can do another 30-day trial.
Exactly. You wait till Obi-Wan Kenobi comes out with Ewan McGregor. You skip back for that. Then when they got a new Stranger Things. You're waiting for what?
I think Scarlet Witch and Loki are each supposed to get like their own 6-week series.
Yeah. I tell you, if you're patient and if you can wait long enough, you can knock out all those shows.
If you have a lot of siblings, too.
Yeah.
Like, because my brother signed up for Hulu, so my sister and I use his account. I sign up over here. Give it to my sister or my brother, so it works.
Oh yeah,
family share.
Yeah, they're gonna have to put the clamp down on that. But it's funny, and I was saying it. I love it when I'm ahead of the curve. I love it when we're talking about stuff, and then the rest of the world plays catch up, and you're like, yeah, we were talking about that like a year ago.
Yep.
They're really just reinventing television, except it'll be on your phone. So instead of having 18 different channels, you'll just have 8 different streaming services, and you'll be paying for what you want to watch a la carte, and that's it. And like originally, people go, they're like, wow, I'm paying $100 a month for cable. Oh, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to get rid of cable, and I'm just going to do streaming services. Well, you're going to be doing $20 a month for this one, $20 a month for that one. You're going to have 5 of them you like, and you're like, wow, now I'm still paying $100, but I'm only getting 5 channels.
Well, and I think the cable companies are going to have to wise up at some point and like give me a 10-channel package, because I'm sorry, most people watch a certain number of stations.
Yeah.
They don't watch everything across the dial. They don't, you know what I mean? So yeah. Give me a package where I can get these 10 things consistently, and that's what I'm going to do.
This is, and I totally agree with you, and there's a service that I have here in Los Angeles that I'm completely addicted to, and that's the only thing that takes me out of my television comfort zone. It's TiVo, and it is, it's kind of like Spotify, but it's for your TV, and it's the very first DVR I ever got. But it's like, I was watching a lot of Star Trek The Next Generation. It goes, oh, you like Star Trek? Over on this channel, while you were asleep, we taped this other program that's kind of along those same lines over here on this other channel. So mm-hmm. I'd be like, wow, what's this? And then for a while there, I can't even remember the name of the channel now. It wasn't Audience or something, but they started recording the best live concerts. Like these, oh my gosh, what channel was that? Who's the guy that oh my gosh, he's the owner of the Dallas Mavericks. He's on Shark Tank. He hates Trump. Billionaire dude.
Oh, Mark.
Yeah. Mark Cuban. Yes. Mark Cuban has a station, and it might be Ovation or something, but man, they had for a while there, they were just doing nothing but these insanely phenomenal live shows out of Europe. And you're like, it's, you know, it's the blah, blah, blah festival, but my TiVo would pick it up. And I'm like, what in the Sam Hill is this? Found some new music that way. Found some new stuff that way.
Nice.
Whew. Okay. So, we've patted ourselves on the back. We're having very good weeks. I'm going to go back to, I did not get fired. I'm going to be back on the five September 19th. Then.
Who are you subbing for then?
A young man by the name of Greg Gutfeld.
Oh, again?
Yeah. Oh,
I thought maybe it was Jesse's turn to go on vacation. Or something.
Yeah, I don't know. I was very, very impressed with Jesse Waters. I was very impressed with Jesse. He was spitting some knowledge on Thursday. He had a thing pretty much right after the open of the show where he was just ticking off facts, boom, boom, boom. And I was like, wow. I mean, I always thought he was funny and he seemed like a nice guy, and blah, 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 but man, he was spitting some knowledge on the five. So I'll be back on September 19th. Then, and I want to let you guys know about this, if you're in the Ohio area, that's my old stomping grounds. That's where I grew up. I'm going to be in Lima, Ohio. And right now, it's going to be myself and, oh, not Kelly Slater. Who's the girl from Buffy the Vampire Slayer? The movie.
The movie. Johnson.
It'll be her, a bunch of other celebrities. We're doing this event in Lima, Ohio, honoring America's veterans. .org is the website. You can get tickets there. It's going to be a big night. Oh my gosh.
So you're not playing golf or anything.
Here's what we're going to do. So I'm going to go in. I do Fox and Friends on the 19th, fly to Columbus on the 20th, get a car, drive to Lima. 21st is the big show. There's going to be a Sinatra guy singing. There's going to be veterans. We're raising money to help homeless veterans and veterans who are thinking about suicide. And we're just trying to help out, you know, these forgotten warriors, these men and women who they get out of combat, they get out of the military, and they're like, what am I doing? They're losing hope. And so we're going to try to help them out, raise some money. And then on the next day, we're not playing golf. We're going to the shooting range, which I cannot wait. I cannot wait to go to the gun range. Then, holy smoke.
Some chick's going to have to show you how to use the gun.
Yeah, that I'm fine with that. I'm completely at ease with that. Then
you're going to go shooting in Vegas, too, one of the times you went there?
I did some shooting in Vegas many years ago, and Those were in some weird days. That's when I had cordite all over my hands, and I wore the same clothes to the airport that I had worn to the shooting range, and like the dogs reacted harshly.
Jeez, I wonder why.
I know. I'm like, I could smell it. I'm a smoker, and I could smell it. I'm like, man, I still smell like gunpowder.
Apparently, the dogs could smell it too.
Yes, they reacted. They reacted. Let's say my bags were searched. So then after that, it is the 24th. This is the Freedom to Laugh tour. The Eagles of Liberty, Freedom to Laugh. We're in Des Moines, Iowa. Get your tickets for that. Then on the 25th is Omaha, Nebraska. And then on the 26th is Kansas City. Going to Kansas City. So that's when that
You're
really...
You're going to be in Iowa?
Yeah.
You know, that's where all the Democratic presidential candidates are hanging out. If there's any rallies, you need to, like, go in.
That is a
great
idea.
There's a Biden rally, you got to go.
That is a great idea.
Oh, my God.
This is why you're here.
Heckler. It would be awesome.
I would love it.
And then you have to film it.
I do.
You and Chad should go.
He will have a crew. My boy Chad Prather has a crew together. He can get things done. I'm a big fan of that dude. But yeah, me and Prather should go out and get some video of a Joe Biden rally. That would be hilarious.
Or an Elizabeth Warren rally. Like, when she takes off running, you should run behind her.
I was. That would be hilarious. With my arm in the, like with my raised fist up, like hers always is.
Yeah, yeah.
I find them all disturbing. I find them all, it's like the original Superman movie. When Marlon Brando was Superman's dad, and he's talking to the Krypton Science Council, and they just won't listen, and they're this, rah, 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 that's not true, and he's frustrated. That's how I think about the Democratic field. They're all like the Krypton Science Council, who they're like living in their own reality, and it's a disturbing reality. On the five, we were talking about that CNN climate change thing.
Oh, my God. You know how many commercials are in that?
How many commercials?
How many Trump campaign commercials are in that?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It was just a fiesta. I kind of held back, you know, on the five. I was kind of like laying back like a leopard in the weeds because I'm the new guy. But that was like some of the stuff. I thought it was insane. It was horrifying. It was scary. It was crazy. They're not. And this is going to sound hyperbolic, but they're just, they're not in reality. And I tried to address this in the video I put out yesterday on the YouTube channel. It's like, there's not enough real estate. Like, you're going, okay, so we're not going to do fracking. There's not going to be any more coal. No more drilling. We're going to be completely renewable. How?
Yeah, it's not.
How?
Well, you know what the truly terrifying part of that is, right?
The Bernie Sanders, we're going to help you kill your babies part?
No, well, I mean, that was just disgusting. But
yeah.
No. If you take a look at what is required to use more renewables, it requires a lot of rare metals. Do you know where 80% of the world's rare metals are?
Yeah. Yeah.
China.
I know.
So we're going to go from being energy independent and being an exporter of the same to being energy dependent on China.
Yes. And they can cripple us whenever they want. They can cripple us. All they have to do is say no more cadmium and we're done. It is.
I also heard that was part of the reason we want to buy Greenland, because there's a ton of it there.
I was like shaking. It's like Trump looks into something. He looks into buying Greenland, and everybody's like, he's an idiot, he's an idiot, he's an idiot. Well,
I'm the third president to look into it.
Exactly. And that's what it's about. It's about the precious metals. And you guys, you heard it here first. Greenland is about the precious metals, and so will the North Pole be. So will the Arctic and the Antarctic. There's going to be big fights over that. Russia is trying to lay claim.
We've already got such restrictions in this country for the rare metals we do have. We're not allowed to dig them. For all these climate change, you're going to ruin the earth, we're going to do this. You have no idea how much energy it takes to get those metals out of the ground, and it's extremely environmentally damaging.
You want to move us
to something that is going to require us to damage the environment significantly to get the raw materials.
There's that, I'm sure you've seen that picture it's tweeted out quite a bit, where it shows a cadmium mine, and how it's just like barren. It looks like the surface of the moon with like bulldozers. And then they're like, well, and then to compare and contrast, here's a natural gas rig, and it's just all green. Like Bambi lives there. Thumper's all happy. People are singing songs. Yeah. It's pretty horrific.
Bulldozers don't run on solar power or electricity. They run on diesel.
That's another hilarious one that I saw recently. They had like an electric vehicle charging station out in the middle of nowhere, and the electric vehicle charging station was running off of a diesel generator.
Mm-hmm.
It's just too
funny. Charge
your
electric car, you are either burning natural gas, coal, or using nuclear power.
It's one of the three, kids. And no more nukes. No more nukes.
You can't have nuclear power plants either.
It is. I was just staggered. I was staggered that no one was even asked. It didn't appear to me that anyone was asked of the Democrat candidates, like, what are you going to do about China? Like, what are you, like, listen, you guys, and this is what I said in the video as well. It's like, I'll recycle. I'm down with that. I don't want plastic in the ocean. I'm down with that. But I'm prepared to live without plastic straws. I'm prepared to make some pretty big changes. However, we can do everything in America. And I'm not saying I'm a climate science denier, blah, blah. I don't even want to get into that whole mess. I'm saying we could do everything as a society here in our wonderful little constitutional republic. We could do it all tomorrow, and it's not going to make a difference unless we can do something about China and something about India. And to not even acknowledge that publicly, I think that they've got like America's kids so frightened coming out of these schools, and they have some like some kind of false hope. Like, it's not like we're doing it all. It's not like if America stops, suddenly, you know, the earth is going to cool again. The majority of the CO2 emissions are coming out of China now. They took the lead in 2006. The majority of plastic in the oceans comes out of 10 rivers. 8 of them are in Asia. Mm-hmm. So we can do everything. I mean, everybody can feel good about it and, oh, yay, hooray, look at me, I did my part, yada, yada, yada. But if you don't get China on board, you don't get India on board, you got nothing. You got nothing. And then hush your stupid face about the Paris Agreement, because that was just robbery. That was just robbery. Like there was something in there like China would agree to try to maybe slow down if they got like $500 billion. It was just like the most insane bribery. And that's the other thing that I said in the video. If it's this dire, they have scientists in China. They have scientists. They have a space program in China. They have all kinds of science in China. You don't think they're like going to be concerned at all? Anyway, I'm going down the rabbit hole here.
Well, the other thing is just simply this: we create new technologies. That's why we now export natural gas to other places, because it's much cleaner. And most of our reductions have come from converting from coal to natural gas.
Yup.
But here's the other really interesting thing. I had to go back and listen to an old podcast with a guy from the EPA.
Okay.
And I'm like, I know I heard this. I know I heard this. I know I heard this. And this is what doesn't make any sense to me. Barack Obama's EPA had put forth something called the Clean Power Plan. And it put emissions requirements on existing power plants and future power plants. Right?
Yes.
The Supreme Court put a stay on it, would not allow it to be implemented because it was the government going too far.
Wow.
There were so many legal challenges. So how do Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders and the rest of these hoople heads think they're going to like put prohibitions out on certain types of energy? Obama couldn't even put emission standards on future power plants.
Well, I guess you just have to chalk it up to it's just election year hyperbolics and just, you know, they're just talking.
But you're literally terrifying children, convincing people not to have babies because the world is going to end.
That's the real tragedy.
And this is just politics? Really?
That's the real tragedy in this, is that they are presenting science theory as science fact, and they say the and they say the science is settled, and that's the thing about science. It's never settled. And they're taking, you know, they're taking empirical evidence out of science books in California. Like that's the whole thing. That's what separates us from animals in terms of science. Like, you have to be able to replicate it. That's the whole thing. Empirical evidence.
You saw those folks that went and did a bunch of like ridiculous publications just to see if they could get them into these wacky journals.
Yeah,
that were not science based at all. And these journals just eat it up because it's ideological.
The dog park rape culture.
Yeah, the whole thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's terrifying.
And it is. And they're doing it to children. That's what is, to me, is like the worst. You've got kids.
And that child coming over from Sweden on the boat. And you're not allowed to criticize her. I'm like, no, I'm criticizing every adult in her life.
Yeah.
Because she's a kid with Asperger's that has literally starved herself over the climate and goes into selective mutism. And you're putting her in front of a global movement when nothing is going to fundamentally change.
That's criminal. We were talking about that last week.
Yeah,
that's,
I know, but
completely
it's
completely criminal.
Who decided, you know, and then you see this thing in Canada, they want to put the age to vote down to 8?
I did not see that.
Oh,
that's
it's called
hilarious.
8 to 18, and they figure, they said, we need to do something about climate. Kids understand it better than their parents, so these children as young as 8 need to vote.
Okay,
when my
that's
kids were
hilarious.
8, they didn't get to decide when they went to bed.
See, now here's the deal. If I had the money and if I had a studio, I would immediately film a skit where we're in the future now. And because of the voting age being dropped to 8 in Canada, now you have people who are 8 and 9 running for public office. And you have Canada is being run by an 8-year-old.
It's like Lord of the freaking Flies!
The Defense Department of Canada, the Army, everything's being run by 8-year-olds. And it's just insane. That would be hilarious.
It's like nobody has read Brave New World. Nobody has read 1984. And no one has read Lord of the Flies.
They haven't. They haven't. But that's a funny, funny skit where like these super just out of control Canadian kids are invading other countries for chocolate.
But like you see these things floating through your news feed on Twitter and you're like 8 years old?
And it's
Are
like
you
it's all
kidding me?
It's all funny till they start drafting the elderly. And that's who they make their army up of, just old people who regret ever letting the kids in charge. That's hilarious. That's hilarious. Well, it's
But it's like an actual thing.
It's God help them. God help them.
They already have the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle Prime Minister.
I don't know what to do other than just to kind of shake my head and go, thank God it isn't here yet. Thank God it isn't here yet.
No, they want to push it here down to 16.
I know, but
I would like to raise it to the point where vigilant. Your frontal lobe is fully developed.
I'm telling you, talk about you can vote at 35. You can vote at 33, something
I'm
like that.
I'm even just to the point, you can vote when you pay taxes.
There you go. There you go.
If you don't pay tax, you don't get to vote on your own allowance.
It is, you look at, I don't know, I don't think it's inevitable, or I wouldn't do this show. If I thought it was inevitable, I wouldn't do the show. I wouldn't do the YouTube channel, the loftistparty.com, any of it. But it can't be old fashioned. It can't be outdated. There has to be some kind of appeal to people who are under the age of 50. You know, websites, pop culture, the whole nine. That's the other reason I'm doing the comedy club tour. You know, it's like, hey, let's go out. Let's have a laugh. Let's make fun of this. Yada, yada, yada. But if you look, for real, you look at what Canada's doing, you look at what's going on in Europe, and it's just, it's insane. And my heart breaks. It really does. I would be so frustrated if I was in England right now. Piers Morgan, that guy.
He put it out there today.
Which I thought was a brilliant tweet. I thought
it was
brilliant
an absolutely
and sums
brilliant
it up.
Tweet. He was on an interview with Ben Shapiro interviewed him, and he's like, look, I did not vote for this, but more people voted for Brexit than have ever voted for anything in the UK.
Yes.
And yes. Their government is not doing what the people voted for. This is a terrible thing for democracy.
It's tyranny.
It is.
It's straight up tyranny. And that, and it goes back to the Second Amendment and all that stuff. But
I just think they don't even understand how that Nigel Farage is one charismatic dude. How many seats did he win launching like 3 weeks before an election? If they do a general election, he's already got candidates. You look at his rallies, they're diverse, they're happy, people are smiling. You know, it's the same thing they did to Trump supporters over here. Oh, you're a bunch of white supremacists. No. No, look at the rally.
and then here's the thing that, like, really I find that, like, is heartbreaking about the whole thing. They present it as if to say, listen, if we, as England, leave the EU without a deal in place, what will we do? What shall we do?
England again.
No doubt. You've got an empire that goes back hundreds of years. Good Lord, you used to rule almost half the planet. You know what you're doing. Like, that they doubt themselves so much, that they're being such lily, oh no, what will we do? How will we decide to trade with France again? You do it. Good Lord, grow a spine. What's to fear? There's
really
nothing to fear.
Do you really want to be ruled by bureaucrats in Brussels? That's what I don't get. There's no accountability there. This is a group of bureaucrats that tried to regulate the shape of cucumbers.
And they've got half of the British people, or almost half of the British people, believing it.
I know.
They've got them
it's
believing
ridiculous.
It. Like, you will be lost without us. If you leave this union, you will be lost. You will be nothing. You won't be able to make a bottle float on the ocean. It's like, good Lord, you're England. Have some pride. Have some pride. I feel horrible for him. And I did this joke on stage. I think the clip is still up at the Loftus party. It sucks, but it's like the people of England are being taxed and they're not getting represented.
Mm-hmm.
It's taxation without representation. I'm like, welcome aboard. It sucks, doesn't it?
We'll throw now, some stuff in the ocean.
Right? Have a party. Have a tea party. But you know what? They don't have guns, so there's no real threat. They can be cowed. The people of England are afraid of their government. The government is not afraid of the people of England. And that
they're
is
going
the
around arresting people for social media posts.
Terrifying notion. Terrifying notion. Soon to come to a country near you. We got to watch out, you guys. And I am... This whole mass shooting, they're coming for your guns. Beto O'Rourke saying you'll surrender. Well, I'll have a buyback program. You will surrender your gun. And if you don't, we'll take it by force. Well, thank you, Beto. That's exactly why we have the Second Amendment. That's exactly why we need guns. I know it's a catch-22, but as soon as you say, give me your gun or I'll take it, I'm happy I have the gun.
Can we just all recall what happened early in the 20th century, the last time we tried to ban things?
Oh, are we talking about, the war on the booze? The war on the alcohol?
That gave rise in power and money to the mob and actually increased violence?
Yeah. It's a very good comparison over there, Gimlet. A very good comparison.
Thank you very much. We don't ban things here.
You certainly don't. You can't go backwards. Like, that was the problem. That was the problem with Prohibition. You had all these people had this thing. And yeah, I guess America was a mess. If you ever see that Ken Burns documentary about Prohibition, like, it wasn't like, certainly some people had their panties in a bunch over it. But man, there was a lot of boozing going on.
Mm-hmm.
So, but like, it's already out there. You can't go back. That's why I'm not so gung-ho about the legalizing marijuana thing. I'm not so gung-ho about that. And my whole stance on that is, oddly enough, dovetails right into Hong Kong right now and the opium wars. The English, and the East India Trading Company thought that the good people of China deserved opium. We're going to give them opium. It'll be fine. Have some opium. Smoke some opium. It's all good. The Chinese emperor didn't like it, and he's like, this is not a good thing for our culture. England's like, be cool, man. It's just some opium. We'll listen to some jazz records and get a little high. And suddenly, almost 20 million Chinese were dependent on opium. It was horrible. They fought a war over that. And England came back, and that's how they got Hong Kong, yada, yada. But it's like, when you start making, like, booze was legal, then you go, okay, now it's illegal. It's too late. It's already out there. That's why I think we got to slow our roll on this everybody gets marijuana thing. Like, if you've got a legit medical problem, yeah, go ahead. You may have your weed. But this whole, I've got anxiety, I need a prescription, shut up. Shut up.
What I would like the government to do is make it easier for research and testing to see what the compounds in within marijuana can actually do from a health and wellness perspective. You know, there are some studies over in Israel that shows THC in combination with a couple other things, shrinking melanomas and things like that. I would like to know about
that's
that.
Awesome. That's yeah. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Do research till the cows come home. Oh my gosh. This, I just remembered this thing. I had not seen this clip. I put it on Twitter. You know how Trump did that thing that it's called first try or last try or try.
Yeah, no, right to try. So if there's an experimental drug in your terminal, you can try the drug.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is one of those things, you guys, that I love about the Trump administration. They passed this. But you know, and it makes total sense. It makes total common sense. You have been given a death sentence. You've been given a death sentence, and you're like, wow, there's this crazy drug in like Uganda. Can I try that? No, you may not. The FDA says you can't. Okay, that's stupid. Yep. That's stupid. So Trump and his people, they remedied that. I saw this thing on Twitter. I choked up. I got misty eyed watching this. I'm sure you've seen it. It's this girl. And she's introducing Trump at some campaign event or some dinner somewhere. Mm-hmm. And you've seen it?
I don't think so.
Oh, it's on my timeline. I'll retweet it. This beautiful girl, and she is pro-Trump. She is pro-Trump. And she's like, first they told me it was over. And they told me I was going to die. And I had to come to grips with that. That's what the doctor said. Then came the drug people saying, we're going to give you these drugs and you can just, you know, blissfully pass on to the next, you know, the great beyond. And she goes, and then came the Good Samaritan. Then came Donald Trump with his right to try. And she was given a drug that she wanted to try because literally they're like, you are dead, lady. You are. And this is a young girl. This is a young, vibrant, beautiful girl. And because of the right to try, good Lord, she reacted well to the drug. She is cured. And you will never meet or see a bigger Trump supporter. I'm getting choked up just talking about it right now. But she is alive because of this. And it's like, why is that not everywhere? And it was posted like months ago. And literally my tweet about it was like, why am I just now seeing this?
Mm-hmm.
This is, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. It's gorgeous. And that's what I love. I love stuff like that. I absolutely love it. So we're kind of this started with the whole marijuana thing. But like, yeah, do research, figure out what it does, study, do make new compounds. I'm all for it. But just having some kid walking home from high school, just popping by the dispensary, getting him some, you know, dragon butthole purple nurple that puts him into a coma. That's just a bad idea.
Well,
it's a bad idea.
They've shown repeatedly, and research has shown repeatedly, that until your brain is done growing, which happens sometime between your early and mid-20s, marijuana does a lot of damage.
Yeah. Yeah. You know?
Well, and especially now, you just don't even know the level of THC that's in it anymore.
Oh, man. Ain't that the truth? Ain't that the truth? You try some of this stuff the kids are smoking, and you're like, whoa, when did weed get so powerful? It did, though. It did. I got some friends of mine that had some horrifying experiences.
Oh, I'm sure.
These guys that I worked with, they were all going to this concert. I couldn't go. I was doing stand up. And they went to a place and they got like this candy bar that's for like terminal cancer patients.
Oh, Jesus.
And they're going to this concert at the Hollywood Bowl, like four of them, and their dates, right? And so it says on the package, like, hey, don't eat more than one. It's like a candy bar. You got the little squares and you break them off.
Don't eat more than one square.
Don't eat more than one square. You're good with. And they're like, well, hey, man, I'm at a concert. I want to have a good time. So they ate like three squares. They were gone. They all had like horrible experiences.
Well, I mean, I've heard some of the really high THC stuff will make you hallucinate. Like a bad acid trip.
Maybe. It's so listen, if you're out there and you're listening to the show and you're thinking about doing the candy bar thing, just read the label.
One square.
Stick to the dosage. Don't go, I know what I'm doing. I'll go triple. It ain't a good thing. Okay. So some other stuff that's going on. Poor England. Poor England. We've got this, I saw the funniest meme the other day. It showed the hurricane coming into Florida, and then it had like a Democrat going, I hope it hits Mar-a-Lago. And then the hurricane changes path, and it's like, Trump 2020. like the hurricane is a conservative and decided to skirt up Florida instead of going up, hitting Mar-a-Lago. That just cracked me up.
Yeah.
And it has like, it's like Trump buying Greenland, and it's like this stupid Sharpie Gate thing. And I love it. I totally love it when Trump takes victory laps. I love it on Twitter when he is right and they are wrong. And he's got, NOAA, the National Oceanic Atmospheric Administration, whatever. Like, he's got CNN saying, and it's going to hit Alabama. It's going to go through Georgia, Alabama. The tweet that he put out was just hilarious. Hilarious. Where somebody made the little video going, Alabama, 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 Alabama. And it's on CNN. And then Trump tweets that it's fake news is the enemy of the people. He's not running against the Democratic Party so much as he's running against the fake news. And I couldn't agree with him more. I couldn't agree with him more. For them to jump on the whole it's not going to hit Alabama thing, and he's got video proof that he's right. It's just, it's insane.
Yep.
It's so boring, and it's so tiresome. And it really is time for... Like CNN and MSNBC, I think they really need to reevaluate. They're doing long-term damage to journalism. They're doing it.
Just doing long-term damage to journalism. I mean, I don't know how long we can function as a country when we don't trust our neighbors because there is no longer a set of basic facts we can all agree on.
Yeah.
Like, okay, yeah, I would like to do more about people who are exhibiting suicidal behavior, mental health issues in terms of, making sure they don't have firearms. I in no way trust the government nor the judicial system to do any of that.
Nope.
Nope.
No way. Like, and this is really what I think.
I mean, I've had crazy people because of social media.
Yeah.
You gonna try to get my guns taken away from me?
Well, that's just, this whole red flag law is just, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. It's a catch-22. It goes back to Beto O'Rourke saying, we'll take your guns by force. Oh, you have guns. Someone said you were crazy. We're here to get your gun. You're not going to take my gun. Well, we have guns and we'll shoot you if you don't give us our gun. Well, then I better shoot you first. It's just a recipe for disaster. It's just a recipe for disaster. Yeah. I don't see the red flag laws working at all. That's the other thing that just drives me crazy. It's just a personal pet peeve. The common sense gun laws. We're just trying to pass common sense gun laws. And then you go back to the old trope of the NRA, but it's very true. Show me one of these laws that's going to keep a gun out of a criminal's hands.
Like there isn't one.
Dig it. It's I'm not worried about a member of the NRA doing anything nefarious ever. But what I am worried about is like some crazy kid in Chicago who somehow got his hand on a pistol and is just going to drive down the street taking people out. Like, how do you stop that kid?
Well, you don't.
Yeah, there is no common sense gun law that's going to do that. And I did not want to forget about this. This goes to the media too. I gotta look it up. On the old Twitter account. There was a march in Chicago over the weekend. And it's just, it's beautiful and it's wonderful and it's one of those things that needs to be celebrated. And I want to get the numbers right on this if my Twitter would ever decide to open. And there's a video of it. And it is 1,000 black dudes and they're all like dressed the same and they're marching through like the roughest neighborhood in Chicago to protest the gun violence. It's 1,000 black men who are sick and tired of seeing their fellow citizens and their neighbors and their friends being gunned down. And it's this big march to protest this stuff. And nobody's talking about it. Nobody's talking about it. And that's it goes back to like mass shootings, you know, seven. Yeah, that's horrible. Mass shootings are horrible. Yeah. But like so. But it's like a firework or a comet. It happens pretty rarely, you know, and while that event is horrifying and shocking because it all happens at one time, you got this slow drip, drip, drip in Chicago of death that never stops. And it makes mass shootings look stupid. And you got the slow drip, drip, drip of handgun deaths and kids killing each other in Baltimore. It never stops. So I can't, that when they talk about, oh, we got to do common sense gun laws, we got to take away the AR-15, blah, 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 blah. It's like, no, this is about they want all the guns. Because it just seems to me like, okay, so we got the AR-15s, so those are gone. And then they're going to go, oh, but it's handguns are the problem now. And then it's going to be all weapons. I know I sound like a lunatic. I know this sounds like pure Alex Jones. But you'll have a hard time convincing me that this isn't step one in just completely disarming the American people. How can you, if you want to present your argument like you care about human life, and you're just trying to do common sense stuff to value human life, and you're not mentioning Chicago, and you're not mentioning Baltimore, and what is the reason? What is the reason people are using the gun as a weapon? What are the reason people are killing each other? They don't care. It's not a, there's nothing funny about this. I'm literally on a soapbox right now. It's horrible.
Well,
it's horrible.
That very interesting article, I think it was by Reason Magazine, and talking about the very low likelihood that most local police departments and sheriff's office would even help the government enforce it.
Well, let's hope. I mean, yeah, at least for one generation.
And, you know, I heard somebody make the commentary, you know, okay, so localities, it's really funny how liberals are okay with not complying with some laws, but would have an absolute bird if they, you know, people didn't comply with other laws. So, like, they're perfectly fine with locations like Montgomery County, or is it Montgomery County, Maryland, where we've had 8 young immigrant girls sexually assaulted by illegal immigrants who shouldn't even be here, to be a sanctuary county. They're fine with that.
Yeah.
But if they did a gun control law and local counties in middle America said, yeah, we're just really not going to do that, they would lose it.
Oh, yeah. In America, no one's above the law. No one's above the law. Well, this person broke in. Shouldn't we throw them out? They're just looking for help. We don't do that. We're not going to support that one, you silly rabbit.
That's not who we are.
That's not who we are. And I love the people who tell us who we are also out there going, and we're going to help people in foreign countries have abortions. It's like, yeah, America exporting baby death since 2020.
It's crazy. I've put this out on my timeline on Twitter. I think I've written articles about it. If you are Gen X, okay, if you were born sometime, you know, between the mid-60s to about 1980, and you vote for a Democrat, you've either had a lobotomy or need one. Right now, our generation, according to studies and research, okay, is as likely as our great grandmothers to run multi-generational households. So that means you never get to downsize, right?
Yeah.
Your kids, your parents, your grandkids possibly, all in the house with you, just like great-grandma used to have. Then, while you're busy taking care of all the people you love, right? And these households are already popping up and they're almost always headed by Gen X. Then, while you're taking care of all these people you love, these idiots are going to come in and tax the crap out of you to pay for other people's poor decisions, right?
Yeah.
And now they're talking about the Secure Act again, which is screwing with your retirement. If you vote for these people, you should really just bang your head against a wall, because it's stupid. Stupid. It's, they are taking everything you have worked for.
We gotta get our message back into the public schools. I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you do it, but our priorities are a little backwards. They're a little backwards and a little messed up.
See what they're doing in New York City?
No, what are they doing?
Nikita Khrushchev, the mayor, decided to put this diversity council thing together to figure out how they could unsegregate their schools. So what this council came back and proposed is get rid of all the gifted programs, get rid of all the selection criteria for any education program in the New York City public schools.
That sounds horrifyingly par for the course.
But do you know what's even more frustrating?
Hmm.
Within New York City, there's this group of charter schools called the Success Academy. They teach K through high school, right?
Yep.
They're teaching 17,000 children, about 1 in 60 New York public school kids. Okay? The average income for their student population household is $47,000, and they are 94% Black and Hispanic. Do you know what schools have the highest standardized test scores in the state for the third year in a row?
It's got to be those schools, right?
Yep. The next one is a school district that has an average household income of $162,000 a year and is only 4% minority.
So they're going to get rid of all of them?
They're not getting rid of those charter schools, but they have the methods in their city to take the kids out. 6% of these schools' populations are homeless. They have the tools right there in the city that is bringing these kids from the toughest neighborhoods and giving them a great education to the point that they're scoring like 95 and 90 on English and math. The next closest one is like 85 and 88.
So what, are they going to close these schools? Is that what they're saying?
They're not going to close them, but they're not going to look to them to help solve the problems in the public schools.
Oh, yeah. Let's by all means, let's not do what the successful schools are doing. Don't do that.
By all means, let's continue to like just, and I mean, these academies take kids purely by lottery. There's no testing to get in. And they're literally changing lives while Nikita Khrushchev is deciding that, oh, we're just going to screw over the smart kids. Give them nothing to do.
It is, listen, it goes back to the Ronald Reagan thing. Like, I'm like the scariest words you can hear. I'm from the government and I'm here to help. And it's really these, for some days you think I'm living in an Ayn Rand novel. I'm living in the book 1984. It's you just say it's madness, and you thank God that you don't live there, and your heart breaks for the people who do live there. And it's like
it's just the entire progressive philosophy is, well, all else has failed, so let's lower our standards.
Yes. Yes.
No.
It's like the schools in California. It's like my kids, thank God. I was rubbing nickels together and making sure that they didn't go to the public schools out here, but it is a train wreck. The kids that come out of LA Unified are just not prepared. All they know is this: America's horrible. The founding fathers are racist. We've never done anything good. We're not exceptional. global warming is real, and the only people who can solve their problems are the government. That's what they know. They can't do math. They don't know literature. They don't know history. They barely know science. They certainly can't read. And all they can do is just look to the government. Please help me. Please help me. A government that they don't trust. That they go, oh, all cops are racist. All cops are trying to kill me and this and that. Yeah, so by all means, it's the most ridiculous thing.
So by all means, be dependent on those people. That sounds like a great thing to do.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
It's crazy. So we got to stick together. I want to talk about it.
We need you to do another history show like American Wise Ass so you can teach history the right way.
I'm actually working. That's the material I'm working on. I'm working on a big thing about how how we are exceptional and how our country's cool and the founding fathers and all that good stuff. But I got to wrap it up in a very palatable way, a fun way. Holy smoke. Talk about these couple of things before we go. I'm very down on the new Star Wars. I'm just going to leave it at that. My thoughts are on the YouTube channel. It's just very sad. All my hopes are on The Mandalorian. I want to see more of The Mandalorian. I hesitated, and this is like shame on me, shame on me. There's a movie coming out called Jojo Rabbit. And I saw the stills from it. I saw the stills, and everybody's like, ooh, Jojo Rabbit. It's from the director of Thor Ragnarok. So I didn't even look at it. I'm like, this is just blah. I actually watched the trailer the other day, and I gotta publicly shame myself. It looks fantastic. It looks so funny. It's an all-star cast. I didn't realize what the movie was really about. It's about a kid in Nazi Germany, and he's being raised by a single mom, plays by Scarlett Johansson, and this kid is in the Hitler Youth, and he has an imaginary best friend, and his imaginary best friend is Adolf Hitler, and you have to watch this trailer. It is laugh-out-loud funny, and it also looks like there's a great little story in there, and that it has a heart of gold, but I am not kidding you. That I'm gonna butcher his name. It's like Taiki something. He directed Thor Ragnarok. This is his pet project. It's hilarious. You gotta go to theloftusparty.com and check out the trailer for Jojo Rabbit. I never want to pass up.
I still gotta go do the Stalin one. Never played in the theater by me.
I know. That. Yeah, The Death of Stalin. I need to see that one, too. Okay, and then there's another article, a little piece that I put up at theloftusparty.com. I don't know why, but it's kind of like, this is kind of like a real pop culture-y, kind of like an Entertainment Weekly type of thing. But, like, it struck me. I was scrolling through YouTube, and they suggested a video to me. And it was the original, like the video for The Clash's London Calling, the title track, you know, that boom, 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 boom. And I'm like, wow, I can remember exactly where I was when I heard that song and how much that song, like, it just changed me. There was like a seismic shift in my whole core of my being. It just boom. So I want to start like a list, and there's no wrong answers, of songs that like have like affected you like that. Songs where you like just it, like I never liked country music before, but then I heard this, or I never, whatever, where it's a big point in your life. So go to theloftusparty.com and just put down the name of the track that you think, okay, here's one. Cause I got a ton of them. I got a ton of them. Just,
yeah,
songs
I never liked country music until I heard Garth Brooks, The Dance.
Right. Mm-hmm. So that would be a good one to put on there. Mm-hmm. I remember being a kid, sitting in my living room, and my brother, my oldest brother, put on Boston, and man, that was just like a what is that? The same thing with Radiohead's Creep. Like, what is that? So I think it's fun. So I want you guys to participate and do that. I want to thank everybody who's been here from the beginning and the people who are just now joining us. We want to hear your thoughts. We want to hear your feedback. TheLoftusParty.com is the place to do that. That's where I answer everything. There's a lot of comments on YouTube. I try to look at those. There's a lot of comments on Instagram. I try to get to those. But at TheLoftusParty.com, that is where it is always going to get responded to. And make sure, if you are a gun owner, you're a big Second Amendment person, if you have a gun safe in your house and you're battling humidity, you're battling moisture in the old gun safe, or maybe there's just... you're like me. It's a closet. It's a bathroom. It's wherever. It's your gym bag. You want to keep it dry. We have these amazing, amazing products. 100% natural product. It's fantastic. Never needs to be recharged. Never have to refill it. You just set it and forget it. Go to Trump2020pouches.com. A buck from the purchase is going to go to the Trump reelection campaign. You use the code word MAGA, M-A-G-A. You're going to get at least one for free, but it's a great product. I've been using mine for months. I still can't get over it. Made in America, too. I can't say that enough. Made in America by Americans. Trump2020pouches.com. So it was a fantastic week. The five was a lot of fun. I'm very much looking forward to going back on. Everything's going great. Keep sharing the videos. Keep sharing the posts. The latest word on the street now is that, like, you couldn't post anything with, like, MAGA in it, or they'd give you the clampdown. You post something with Trump in it, they give you the clampdown. Now what they're doing to conservatives, if you have the words like, please share, that will negatively affect your post.
Yep.
That will, yes. It is
please retweet
crazy.
On Twitter, too.
Yes. So, you guys, it's up to you. And I know there's a bunch of you. I know there's a bunch of you that listen to the podcast, which makes me so flippin' happy, which makes me so you guys have no idea the joy it brings to me when I look at, like, the numbers and I'm like, oh yeah, they're trying to keep the clamp down on us, but you people keep pulling through and our numbers are growing because we have more fun. We laugh more. We are on the right. We are the Loftus Party, theloftusparty.com. We will see you next week.